Thank you for joining us on A Journey of Faith, brought to you by Only Jesus For Me Ministries. It is our hope that through this spiritual journey of 10 sessions, you will be equipped to engage with some of life's toughest questions. While this session certainly has value in and of itself, we want to invite you to consider this session in context with the other 9 sessions in A Journey of Faith. We feel this will make your journey to discovery more complete. At OJM, we teach on the premise that truth discovered is truth retained. We also invite you to download the ebooks that correspond with these audiobooks and dive deeper into each subject on this journey. We also hope you will watch and listen to the e-sessions carefully and engage with the discussion questions that are suggested at the end of every session. By the way, we want you to feel free to express your own ideas that emerge as you listen, watch, and study with us. We welcome you to A Journey of Faith.
Session 5, A Guide to Prayer and Fasting. The Abiding Principles for this Session. John 14:13-14. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Matthew 18:19-20. I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Introduction to Session 5, A Guide to Prayer and Fasting. Jesus taught in Luke 18:1 that we should always pray and never give up. James 5:16 says, "The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." Many have proven these verses to be true. In his book, The Power of Prayer, R.A. Torrey wrote from his own experience, "Prayer is the key that unlocks all the storehouses of God's infinite grace and power. No one can stand against the person who knows how to pray and who meets all the conditions of prevailing prayer and who really prays." The question is, how many Christians really pray or even know how to pray? Do you pray? Do you know how to get your prayers answered? Let me ask these questions another way. What if you were in a desperate situation and couldn't call upon anyone else? Not the pastor, not a Christian friend, not anyone on social media, to pray for you. Would you know how to get in touch with God? Would you know how to pray? Would you have confidence that God would hear and answer your prayers? Torrey, in his powerful book on prayer, affirmed, "All that God is and all that God has is at the disposal of prayer, but we must use the key." It is my sincere prayer that this session will teach you the basics of how to start a prayer life and also will introduce you to another powerful avenue of reaching God's heart, the avenue of Spirit-led fasting. The Holy Spirit placed upon my heart a powerful thought that has changed my way of thinking about prayer and its place in my life. Think with me about this. You are not a product of your environment or the circumstances of life. Rather, you are a product of your prayers. We are reading today from the Bible text, Matthew 6:5-15. Jesus' teaching about prayer and fasting. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, Don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. The traditional phrase, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, amen," is omitted from the New Living Translation, NLT. This is an example of textual variance discussed in more detail in Session 4. The NLT footnote says, some manuscripts add, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." If you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, to discuss the Bible text. For our encouragement and instruction, the Scriptures record examples of courageous prayers that were answered by God in definite ways. Consider the prayer of Hannah, 1 Samuel 1, 26-27. "Sir, do you remember me?" Hannah asked. "I am the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and He has granted my request." The prayer of Elijah, 1 Kings 18, 36-38. At the usual time for offering the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar and prayed, "O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all this at your command. O Lord, answer me. Answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have brought them back to yourself." Immediately, the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. It even licked up all the water in the trench. The prayer of Jabez, 1 Chronicles 4:10. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do, and keep me from all trouble and pain." And God granted him his request. The prayer of Paul, 2 Corinthians 12, 8-9. "Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time He said, 'My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness.' So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me." How important it is for us to learn to pray. Like Jesus' disciples, we should ask, "Lord, teach us to pray." Luke 11:1. Our Lord's response to His disciples is recorded in detail in Matthew 6 and serves as the framework for this session. Before teaching how prayer should be structured, Jesus gave us these basic concepts. The sincerity of prayer, Matthew 6:5. We do not pray to attract attention to ourselves. We do not pray to heighten public awareness of needs. The secrecy of prayer, Matthew 6:6. Jesus did not forbid public prayer in the sense of praying in community with other believers. See the example of the early church in Acts 4:23-31. Jesus taught that all prayer should be genuine. One should not pray in public if he or she does not have a vibrant, private prayer life. The simplicity of prayer, Matthew 6:7-8. Prayer should not be full of meaningless words. Prayer does not have to be long to be effective. Prayer is not a performance. Rather, it is a time of sharing with our loving Heavenly Father. After these basic concepts were understood, Jesus gave his disciples a model prayer, Matthew 6, 9-13, often called the Lord's Prayer. Like the disciples, we can learn specific elements from this model prayer that should be included in our daily prayers. In other words, this model prayer serves as an outline of how to structure our prayers so they are meaningful and effective. Roman numeral 1, the salutation of our prayers. Our Father in heaven. Capital A. We have access to God because of our membership in the family of God. Capital B. Notice the tone or respectful attitude in which we are to approach Almighty God. Our Father in heaven. Roman numeral 2. The sanctity of our prayers. May your name be kept holy. Capital A. This phrase should remind us of the holiness and purity of God. We need to sanctify or set God apart in our own hearts. God is holy and above all else. Capital B. A primary purpose of prayer is to worship God. 1 Peter 3, 15a. You must worship Christ as Lord of your life. Capital C. Worship should come before sharing our needs. Roman numeral 3. A natural outflow of worship is surrender. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Capital A. In the model prayer in Matthew 6, note carefully that worship is first, then surrender, and then sharing our needs with God. This order is very important. Capital B. Jesus is teaching us to express in prayer that we are willing to place ourselves under the authority of God, as if we are already living in heaven. Capital C. For prayer to be effective, we must unconditionally surrender to God to accept His divine will and outcome in the situations we pray about. Notice this was the prayer of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane just before He was crucified. Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Luke 22:42. Roman numeral 4. Now comes the time to share our needs with our Heavenly Father. Give us today the food we need. Capital A. Prayer is a time for us to secure God's blessings in our lives. John 16:23b-24. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly, and He will grant your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. Capital B. Our Father invites us to share with God our every need. Matthew 21:22. You can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. Capital C. Caution. God will only answer prayer that is according to God's design for our lives. Prayer requests are not about getting God to give us what we want. Rather, we are requesting the things we need in order to serve God. 1 John 5:14-15. And we are confident that He hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases Him. And since we know He hears us when we make our requests, we also know that He will give us what we ask for. James 4:2-3. You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. Roman numeral 5. We need to confess our sins after sharing our needs. Forgive us our sins. Capital A. In reference to eternal life, all of our sin debt, past, present, and future, is forgiven when we experience new birth in Christ. capital B. Even so, disobedience to God after our salvation, or our sins, breaks our fellowship with God and can cause us to lose blessings and rewards. To make a distinction, sometimes when we talk of sin, singular, we are referring to our entire debt of sin, while sins, plural, refers to individual acts of sin that a person commits. Payment in full for our sin debt was provided by the blood of Jesus Christ. The moment a person is born again, he or she is justified. Their debt for all past, present, and future sin is removed, and Christ's righteousness is placed on their account. This person is reconciled to God, has a right standing before God, because in God's sight, he or she now is clothed in Christ's righteousness. This is the only way a sinful human can be allowed into heaven with God, who is holy. But because the sin nature is not removed at salvation, we still commit sins after being born again. These sins need to be confessed in order to restore fellowship with God. 1 John 1:6. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. There are sins of commission, things that we do wrong. There are sins of omission, things we should have done but failed in some way. Capital C. These sins of disobedience need to be confessed. 1 John 1:9. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Capital D. Fellowship with God is restored when we acknowledge our disobedience and ask God for forgiveness. Proverbs 28:13. People who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. Roman numeral 6. In order to obtain forgiveness from God, we must be willing to forgive others in Christian sympathies, as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Capital A. We have been commanded to actively practice unlimited forgiveness. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Ephesians 4:32. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Capital B. Notice what Jesus said to us just after he gave this model prayer to us. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Matthew 6:14-15. A lack of forgiveness for others will hinder our prayers from being answered. We are to continue to forgive time and again. Notice the phrase in verse 12, as we have forgiven those. This suggests that we are to continually forgive, even as God continually forgives us. Matthew 18:21-22. Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. Roman numeral 7. Our prayers should continue with a request for divine strengthening to grow in our faith. Don't let us yield to temptation. Capital A. In this verse, temptation comes from the Greek word perasmos, which carries the idea of proving someone or putting someone to the test, as defined in Strong's Concordance. Capital B. God allows trials to come into our lives to challenge us to grow in our faith. James 1:2-4. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Capital C. God never tempts us to do evil. James 1:13. And remember, when you are being tempted, Greek parazo, enticed to do evil, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else, as defined in Strong's Concordance. Capital D. When we pray, don't let us yield to temptation. We are asking God for two things. We are asking God to only test our faith in meaningful ways that will accomplish God's purposes. We are asking God for the strength to pass the tests of faith that God chooses to bring our way. Capital E. God has promised to answer both of these requests. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The temptations, perosmos, or testings, in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure, as defined in Strong's Concordance. Roman numeral 8. Our prayers should include a request for safety that God will rescue us from the evil one. Capital A. Sin is a result of the lust of our flesh. Matthew 26:41. Keep watch and pray, so that you will not give in to temptation, to evil. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Capital B. The evil one, Satan, provides opportunities for the lust of the flesh to be fulfilled. James 1:14. Temptation to evil comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. Capital C. Victory over sin comes through prayer and faith in God. For further help, please study Romans 7:18-25 with Galatians 2:20. Steps to victory over addictions and besetting sins. Confess to God your weakness and your sin. Own your behavior and quit making excuses. Take steps to provide accountability in this area of weakness. Do not trust yourself to be strong enough to resist temptation. Stay away from whatever, whoever, is causing you to sin. Confess your weaknesses to others who will pray for you and share with you their own struggles and victories. Seek godly and wise counsel. To break stubborn addictions, you need professional help and rehabilitation. The local hospital is a primary point of contact, but there are also ministries that will help with this journey. For example, one very affordable faith-based program for people who want serious freedom from addictions is the Transformers Program, operated by the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission in North Carolina. Die to the flesh and live in the Spirit, Romans 6:11-15. Cooperate with the work God is doing in your life. Be faithful to church, Bible study, and prayer. Philippians 2:13. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Look to God to supply your needs in the right way, and pray that God will help you to be satisfied with these provisions. Psalm 23:5. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Know that God loves you, even when you fail to live up to who you are in Christ. Accept forgiveness and work back through these steps until the bondage of sin is broken in your life. Read Psalm 33:18-22. Roman numeral 9, a summary statement. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Capital A. When we pray, yours is the kingdom, we are acknowledging once again that God is in control of all things, and we submit to God's authority in the resolution of our needs as they relate to God's eternal purposes. Capital B. When we pray, yours is the power. We acknowledge our complete dependence on God to supply our every need. Capital C. When we pray, yours is the glory forever. We acknowledge that we are trusting in God to answer our prayers in a way that will bring the most glory and honor to God. Capital D. When we pray, amen. We are agreeing with God and transferring our burdens to God's care. Roman numeral 10. Some thoughts about sacrificial praying, Jesus referred to as fasting, as he taught on prayer. Matthew 6:16-18. And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face, then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Please note, not much is said these days about the spiritual discipline of fasting to seek God in prayer, yet this is a biblical idea that Jesus taught us in Matthew 6. I don't feel that systematic fasting is something that is required to live a holy life, and in my opinion, fasting should not be entered into without prayer, counsel, and consideration. Fasting is another avenue to touch the heart of God and humbly seek God's direction in our lives. Therefore, we should study what fasting means and be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God to engage in this type of spiritual discipline. I will warn you that fasting is a very tough spiritual discipline. However, I have found that through Spirit-led fasting, I have been brought to a greater awareness of God's purposes in my life, and at times, it has helped me to sort through the most confusing situations that I have faced. I offer a few introductory thoughts to you in hopes that you will begin a more in-depth study on a fascinating practice that could be a great blessing to you in the times of life's greatest challenges. Capital A. Fasting traditionally involves going without food for a specified period of time. Instead, it could consist of giving up any special privilege in order to focus on God and spend more time in prayer. For example, giving up TV for a while. Please note, if you feel led of God to fast in a traditional manner, please consult with your medical doctor first to be certain that your health will allow this type of fast. Other types of fasting that don't call for abstinence of food can also be just as effective. Also, please understand that fasting from food should never require you to fast from water. You should always stay well hydrated during any fast. The length of the fast varies and should be part of your discernment process in prayer. I would suggest starting with a 24-hour fast and perhaps work your way up to several days. There should be a well-defined and clearly written need that is stated before God as you enter into a time of fasting. Capital B. Fasting should not be done to appear righteous to others. Fasting should not be done out of duty. Fasting should not be done to impress others. Capital C. Fasting should not be done to try to manipulate God or people. Read Isaiah 58:3-11. An elderly man once shared with me that he had fasted from food for 40 days. When I asked him what he had learned from the experience, he responded, "I will never get God to do what I tell him to do." Capital D. Fasting is for the purpose of appealing to God. Four biblical reasons to fast: to focus on God, to seek victory over sin, to seek special relief from burdens, to seek freedom from satanic oppression. Five results of fasting for the proper reasons. Fasting can lift confusion. Fasting can renew health. Fasting can protect our testimony. Fasting can secure God's glory in our lives. fasting can help us accept God's will. In conclusion, John Wesley would open spiritual discussions with the question, "How is it with your soul?" May I ask that same question of you? How is it with your soul? Are you in touch with God through prayer? After studying this session, you may feel that learning to pray seems like a very difficult process. May I encourage you that it doesn't have to be that hard? Remember what Jesus said? Don't babble on and on. Matthew 6:7. Just reverently talk to God about what you need. Let me suggest an easy way to get started. Go back to the model prayer printed in our text. Start with the first phrase, "Our Father in heaven." That's right. Just bow your head in reverence to God and say, "Our Father in heaven," and pause and think about what you have said. Now, use that phrase as a reminder that you need to start out your prayer by thanking God for the fact that you are a Christian and part of God's wonderful family. Go ahead, tell God how grateful you are. See? That wasn't so hard, was it? Now the next phrase. Just follow Jesus's outline. To this day, I still think of each phrase of that model prayer and pattern my prayers after what Jesus taught. I don't think I am such a great prayer, but I have developed a relationship with God, and I have seen God mold and shape me through prayer. God has also answered many of my prayers in ways that continue to amaze me. Prayer is an opportunity to spend time with God. I think I have come to understand that prayer is not just asking and receiving, but it is more about discovering God's will, asking God to enable me to be faithful to such, and becoming more like Christ as I open my heart to the grace of God at work in my life. Listen to the words of the hymn, "Sweet Hour of Prayer," written in 1845 by William W. Walford, a blind preacher from England. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word, and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Remember, you are not a product of your environment or the circumstances of life. Rather, you are a product of your prayers. Here are some discussion questions for you to consider. There is an order of priorities given to us in the Lord's Prayer. Why do you suppose we should first worship God, then surrender ourselves to God, then share our needs, and then confess our sins? Explain. Discuss and explain the difference between our debt of sin forgiven in salvation, past, present, and future, and our many sins that need to be confessed on a daily basis. Why should we pray, "Rescue us from the evil one"? How is this different from, "Don't let us yield to temptation"? Discuss a possible scenario that might lead you to consider fasting as an avenue to touch the heart of God. Please comment on the question presented in the conclusion. How is it with your soul? Please answer these discussion questions in complete sentences on our website. When you submit your answers to OJM, you will get a copy of Larry's and Diane's answers in return via email. You may wish to keep a copy of your answers to compare yours with theirs as you continue discovering truth. If you are not sure how to answer each question, go ahead and take a stab at it. Once you start writing, you may surprise yourself. There are no right or wrong answers. We want to hear your thoughts. In addition, remember to write out the abiding principles on the website. If you complete these simple assignments, you will earn an upgraded certificate.
If you have enjoyed this session of A Journey of Faith, please remember that you may download this session as an ebook for no additional charge. Our ebooks offer bonus content, including acknowledgments, photos, and information about the author and contributing editor. We also would like to invite you to consider our Getting Fit program. The FIT in Getting Fit stands for our Facilitator in Training program that allows you to share what you have been discovering with others. It is truly fun, and we think you will find it rewarding. Find out more on our website at onlyjesusforme.com. Again, that is only Jesus, then the number 4, onlyjesusforme.com. Thank you for listening, and please know that our prayers are with you as you continue your journey of faith.